I'd like to look in the book of Luke this morning. Let's go to Luke, the 13th chapter. Luke, the 13th chapter, and we'll start at verse 1. It says, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, or no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Now, I want to notice these verses here, what Jesus is saying. He's speaking of these tragic events that happened in their day and time. And he said, do you think that there were sinners above all the Galileans and that's why this happened to them? And he said, no. And the same thing with the Tower of Siloam that fell and slew 18 people at one time. But he makes a statement at the end. He says, I tell you, nay, or no, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I believe he's referring to the destruction of Jerusalem that he knew was coming their way. You remember Jesus told them, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place where it not ought not, he said, you know that the desolation thereof is nigh. So Daniel prophesied about the destruction of Jerusalem. And Jesus here is referring to these tragedies, these tragic events that happened in their day. And they said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now the scripture that I'm was looking for, I didn't find it in Luke, the 21st chapter, but it's the one where it talks about Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees and said that the harlots and the publicans go into the kingdom of heaven before you do, because they repented when they heard the preaching of John the Baptist, and they were baptized of them. And then Jesus made a statement to them. He said, ye repented not that ye might believe upon him. Speaking to the Pharisees, they didn't receive John the Baptist. And he asked them a question. The Pharisees asked him a question. By what authority do you say these things and do these things? And Jesus turned it around and asked them a question. Was the life of John the Baptist, was his teaching, was it from heaven or was it of men? Thank you. The wrong book. Matthew 21. Matthew 21 and 31. Yes, this is what I wanted. And he goes on, he tells them, Verse 28, he says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, 'The first.' And Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him.'" So Jesus said, John came to you in the way of righteousness. He was a righteous, he was a godly man. John was not there on his own. Jesus gave great commendation to John the Baptist. His ministry was to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of the Son of God. He was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children back to their fathers. And John did that. And people were baptized. Baptism was, the baptism of repentance was an acknowledgement that my life has not been what it should be. And I recognize and I acknowledge and I repent. And the word repent also, it signifies a turning around, a changing. In other words, you're going down one road and you begin to recognize and see things, and you change. You humble your heart and you turn around and you begin to go a different course. That's what repentance is before God, telling the Lord that we're sorry that we have sinned against Him, that we sinned against His law, and we've done our own thing in life. But Jesus said, He said, "Ye repented not afterward, that ye might believe Him." So their lack of repentance was actually a clinging to their own ways and their own sin, putting their sin and their ways above God's desire and God's design for their life. But I want us to notice that in that scripture we read in Luke, in those tragedies that occurred, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And we know, I believe he's referring to the tragedy of the destruction of Jerusalem. Great tragedy fell on those people. One of the saddest scriptures in the scriptures to me is when Jesus was coming back to Jerusalem and he wept over Jerusalem. And he said, "How often I would have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks, but ye would not." John started the gospel message was repentance. Jesus, when he started his ministry, was preaching the message of repentance, to change, to turn around from the direction that you're going and give your heart and life to God. But that repentance brought, it preserved them. It helped them as a people. And I want to kind of clarify just a little bit the destruction of Jerusalem when it came. It was, and Jesus spoke of it extensively in Matthew, I believe the 24th and 25th chapter, but he made comment that it was It was a desolation. It was imminent. And it said, this generation shall not pass till all these things will be fulfilled. We know Jerusalem was destroyed the second time by the Romans in 70 AD. And that was the destruction that Jesus was referring to. But repentance brought them into a place of being able to believe the Lord and to believe the gospel and to believe the scriptures. Repentance brought them into that place that they were able to receive the warning. Now I'm going to say what happened historically. I've done a lot of reading on this, and Josephus and Adam Clark on the destruction of Jerusalem. It was a great, great tragedy. It was terrible, the things, the people starved. The Romans hemmed them in, they starved, they cut off their food supply, and there was murder in the city. It was despicable. It was probably the worst thing that's ever happened in human history. It's just terrible what had happened to them. But I wanted to mention that a lot of the Jewish people came to Jerusalem, their capital city, for protection against the Romans. A lot of the Jewish people fled to Jerusalem for protection. But the Christians, those that repented of their sins and believed the teachings of Christ, they were, number one, they were being persecuted, which caused a lot of them to flee from Jerusalem. The persecution that they experienced caused many Christians to flee the city of Jerusalem because of the persecution. But also Jesus told them, he said, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, you know that the desolation thereof is nigh. He said, flee to the mountains. He said, don't come in off the housetop to get your things. You don't have time. When you see the armies starting to compass, you need to leave. Now Josephus, the Bible doesn't bring this out, but the Jewish historian Josephus says that for some unknown reason, a flank of the Roman army was out of position, and he says the just people escaped the city. That's what he calls them, the just. He says the just people escaped the city. Some people were coming to the city for protection, and other people were leaving. But it hinged on repentance. You know, repentance is a wonderful thing. It's when we repent, it opens our heart. When we recognize that I have not been what God has wanted me to be, and I haven't followed His law, and I haven't sought Him, and I haven't given my life to Him. Repentance puts us in a very good place to be able to believe and receive the things that God has for us in our life. And that's what He told the Pharisees. He said, you didn't repent that you might believe. In other words, they weren't willing to turn loose of their sins, their life, their ways, their thoughts. And they weren't able to believe. We know from the scripture account that there were Pharisees that later repented. Nicodemus, we believe him to be one of them that repented and turned to God. But those that didn't repent, they perished. Most of them perished in the destruction of Jerusalem because the people were coming there for protection. I read a a statement, and I want to read Lamentations, the fourth chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Lamentations, there's a verse I want to catch. Chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. For the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests that have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her." I noticed, he says the kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and enemy would have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. They felt secure. They felt like everything was okay. They felt... Now, Jeremiah warned them. Jeremiah warned them to turn from their sin and turn from their ungodliness and the things, their iniquities, the things they were doing. But most of the people didn't receive his message. They didn't receive what he was trying to tell them. And many of them also perished. But when we repent, when we come to that place where we acknowledge, where we become honest in our own heart and acknowledge that my life is not really what God wanted it to be, what He intended for it to be. When we repent and we ask God and tell the Lord that I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for the places that I went. I'm sorry for the things that I've did that I knew weren't right. That brings us to a place that we're able to receive what God has for us in our life. But a lack of repentance seems like it closes our mind and it closes our heart to what God has. When Jesus wept over Jerusalem, he said, "How often I would have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks, and ye would not." And he said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." That was at the time of his, just before his crucifixion. And Jesus wept. He wept over the people. He had so much more for them, so much better to offer them than what they had. But when they refused, when they turned it aside, he said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Lord, help us to be able to be in a place. I want to get another scripture in Luke. Here it is, Luke 21 and verse 29. He said, "He spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. You know, this is quite a thing that Jesus is relating. He goes on, verse 35, it says, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." You know, I feel, we know when springtime, we see the trees, how the buds, they slowly, they begin to swell. They begin to swell out, and we begin to feel the warmth, air coming in, and we know summer. We see that summer is close at hand because spring is here and things are starting to bloom out. And he's likened to that. He said, when you see these things, and he's mentioned a whole lot of things previous to that, but he said, when you see these things, you know that the end is nigh. Lord, help us today to be watchful, to be careful, to be on our guard, praying. He said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. That to me is symbolical of indulgence, overindulgence, to overindulge. You know, I think about another scripture place that says, "I beseech you as pilgrims and strangers that you abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Fleshly lust. Being overcharged, overtaken. That's what the warning was. He said, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. These things, he said, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Overindulgence. Now God has given us fleshly appetites. That's the way he made us. We all have appetites. We all have fleshly appetites that God has given us, and there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing evil about that, except when we take it to excess. That's where it becomes wrong. And that has a tendency to dull our spiritual understanding. The physical man can be dulled. The spiritual man can be dulled by the physical man by overindulging in things and not being careful, not being watchful, not being on our guard. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. You know that scripture in Lamentations we read said the kings of the earth and the inhabitants wouldn't have believed. That kind of sounds like the world we live in today. Many people don't believe the gospel. Many people don't believe the teachings of Christ. They don't give their lives to it. They don't accept and receive. So Lord, help us today. To not, one place it talks about the spirit of the power of the air, just the influences, the winds, the things, the influences of our society Lord, help us to be watchful, to be prayerful, to be careful. And I believe if we do, we'll have, the Lord can speak to us. The Lord can warn us. The Lord can help us to understand and help us to be ready when our time comes. When our time comes to leave this world, we can be, if we're watching and we're praying, we can be ready. We can be ready. And that's what we want to, that's what we want to live for. That when our time comes to leave this world, we're ready to go. We've repented. We've made our wrongs right. We've made restitutions. We've asked forgiveness of people we needed to ask forgiveness of. We're ready. We're watching. And the Lord warned them, and He charged them. Don't be overcharged with the cares, the drunkenness, and the things of this life, that day come upon you unaware. Lord, help us today. Help us to be watchful, to be on our guard, to be prayerful. I believe the Spirit of the Lord can help us, can speak to our hearts, and can guide and direct us in a way that would be to our benefit and our blessing to us and to those around us. So help us, Lord, to be watchful and to be prayerful in our lives. Appreciate your attention this morning.